We come to a time in the nation of Israel, in this part of Judges, beginning of the book, where a leader is no longer there. And you know him to be the leader of by the name of Joshua. What a great leader Joshua was for the people of Israel, following in the footsteps of Moses and, of course, leading the people into the promised land, as Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land because of his disobedience in smacking the rock instead of speaking to it. And so Joshua leads the people and takes them into the promised land. But now his time has come. He has passed away. And we see in the nation of Israel a great void of leadership. And I remember one of my pastors years and years ago, he's been with the Lord now a few years, and he's known for this quote, "Everything rises and falls on leadership." Dr. Lee Robertson was our pastor as a child. He was my pastor. It's where I got saved. And it's a true statement that leadership is vital in our life. We all need leaders. We need people to lead us in the way of the Lord. And we have on the prayer page the pastoral staff. It's not because we're better than you at all. We're not. We have the same temptations and the same struggles that anybody has. But God has seen fit to call pastors to lead the church. And we need your prayers. We're praying for Mrs. Raver. Please keep praying for her. She's not leading the church, but she's about to have a baby, you know. And so keep praying for her. And but we, our families, we cover your prayers. And we thank you for praying for us. We really do. But here in the nation of Israel, we see that they are greatly void of leadership. Let's pick it up in Judges chapter number 2, verse number 1. "And the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice." Isn't that a captivating statement? You know, how many times have we heard people tell us, you didn't obey? I mean, I heard that a lot as a child. Why didn't you obey? And isn't it amazing, the angel of the Lord, and I underlined, but ye have not obeyed my voice. But then I love that next question. Why have you done this? Why haven't you obeyed? Why haven't you thrown down the altars? I mean, I gave you a land that flows with milk and honey. I gave you everything that you could ever need and want. And tonight we sit here and we stand here as the family of God. I would say the majority of us in this room tonight are born-again Christians. There might be someone who's still not saved. And if you're not saved, why not get saved tonight? But most of us are saved. And look what God has done for us from the beginning of our life to when we got saved until tonight. God has done so much for us. And God has provided for us more than we could ever imagine. God has given us so much freedom here in Canada. God has given us a wonderful place to meet and just all things richly to enjoy, as the Bible says. And it's interesting that Bible here says, I want you to obey my voice, but you haven't. And I find myself challenged by that question. Why have ye done this? "Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides." Well, I tell you what, nobody likes a thorn in the finger. But how about a thorn in the side? Has anybody ever come up to you, maybe, and I like to do horse bites. I call them horse bites in our house. And so my daughters know what a horse bite is. Watch out for the horse bite. And have you ever had somebody come up and grab you in the side there on the love handles, you know? My love handles are growing these days. I got to get those handles a little bit smaller. But you know what? That's pretty sensitive in there. Just think about the wording of the Bible. A thorn in your side. I take that literally, that a thorn in the side. There's other places in the body where a thorn wouldn't hurt quite as much. Maybe a little more calloused over or whatever. But in the side, I don't have any calluses on my side. get a thorn in there and you're going to feel it. So the Bible here says, because you have not obeyed my voice, you're going to have a pain in your side. And their God shall be a snare unto you. I've got to get moving here. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. Verse 6, and when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Now I've underlined that. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. I mean, that's good. But are you looking, as we think about this, are we wanting this generation, only this generation, to serve the Lord? No. We're wanting the next generation to serve the Lord, and the next generation to serve the Lord, and the next, and so forth and so on, should the Lord tarry his coming. I think the Bible emphasizes this for a reason. In all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord, here's a generation that saw and heard about the goodness of God. Here's a generation that saw and heard about the miracles of God. And they followed and they obeyed the Lord, but something happened. Verse 8, and Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. Verse 10, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them. After who? After the ones that had seen the miracles. After the ones that have tasted of the victory of the Lord. After the ones that had seen the faith promise missions giving come in over and above what it was committed. Folks, this church is not simply about the now and now. This church is about the future, should the Lord tarry his coming. This church is about those that don't really understand everything about the Word of God, and that would be all of us. But I'm talking about the children who are being nurtured in the admonition and the things of the Lord. We've got to recognize that there is another generation coming after us. I don't want to hand the next generation a watered-down teaching or a teaching that isn't strong on the Word of God. We want to hand them something of substance. There arose another generation. Notice what it said, which knew not the Lord. Isn't it amazing what Brother Camp said tonight on the video? He said, how quickly we can lose our freedoms. He's standing in a place where Dutch Baptists gave their lives for freedom. And now that very freedom that they gave their lives for is in jeopardy. And I see here something very challenging, that it was not that far after Joshua that a generation rises up and doesn't know the Lord. Verse 11, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Verse 12, they forsook the Lord God. They followed after other gods. They bowed themselves unto them. They provoked them to anger. You know, a lot of times I think we read verses like this and we can kind of envision a little bit of idol worship maybe. We can maybe picture Buddha. You know, we can picture a statue. We can picture some sort of idol worship. And I don't know about you, but that's kind of so far removed from my upbringing. I mean, I know that around the world there's a lot of idol worship, but I'm talking about in the time in which I grew up, in the area in which I grew up in the world, that kind of thinking and preaching and all of that, not preaching, but religious worshiping, it just wasn't really that prevalent at all. And we might look at this and think, okay, here's a group of people that went from worshiping the one true God, and notice here, now they are worshiping idols. It wasn't that long ago the God of heaven was taking them over the Jordan into the promised land, and now a generation or so removed and they're worshiping Baal. They're worshiping false gods. Wow. And they forsook the Lord, verse 11, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. We haven't even got to the text here. Let's keep moving. Look at verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. God is a God of mercy. The people of Israel put themselves in a predicament. God did not put them in that predicament. They chose a path to take, and it led to judgment. It led to being oppressed. The Bible calls it there being spoiled. And that isn't what grandparents do to their grandchildren. That's not the kind of spoil they're talking about. They took everything from them. They were their masters, if you will. They were their slaves, if you will. And isn't it amazing that sin, while it has pleasure for a season, sin quickly becomes our master? That's exactly what happens here to the nation of Israel. Verse 17 says, they went a-whoring after other gods. They bowed unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in. Did you catch that? They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in. Tonight I'm thinking of this as a father. But not only that, I'm thinking of this as someday a grandfather. And I'm thinking of this as maybe someday, I don't know if I'll be around, it's still alive, but possibly a great-grandfather. I might be in heaven by then. But what I'm saying is this, that it, to me, it is very sobering to read those words. They turned quickly. Don't overlook these words in the Bible. They didn't just turn out of the way of their father. They turned quickly. I think today, and I don't know what the numbers are, it doesn't really matter at this point, of young people that get to a certain point in their life where they're out of the home or they have the ability now to make decisions on their own, and that's fine and that's wonderful, but how many young people today are turning quickly? Just like this. They're turning quickly out of the way which their fathers walked. And what a challenge it is tonight, if you're a father, to walk in the ways of the Lord. What a challenge it is tonight as Christians to continue to walk in the ways of the Lord. Notice obeying the commandments of the Lord. Look at this last five words. But they did not so. Just like it said in the beginning of chapter 2, but ye have not obeyed my voice. But they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of... Isn't it amazing? What a merciful God. Here's a whole group of people. Here's a whole group of people that don't go in the way of their father. They follow Baal. They worship Baal. They worship Ashtaroth. They make sacrifices to these false gods. And then they get under oppression. And we know the cycle here, the cycle of Israel. And then they cry and they moan and they groan because now they're under oppression. And God is merciful. Amazing. God is merciful. And God says, okay, I'm going to raise up some judges to bring into your life to help you. And that's what he did. But notice verse 19. And it came to pass when the judge was dead. Now this isn't talking about just one judge, by the way. This is talking about a repeated event. I'll give you these in just a minute. When the judge was dead, what's the next two words? They returned. They returned. They returned to Baal. They returned to Ashtaroth. And notice what it says. And what does it say? And what's the next word? Corrupted themselves. Corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow unto them. And here's really the message tonight. And I hope to get through the whole message. We'll see. They ceased not. That's the theme that Lord just kind of gave me. They ceased not. They didn't stop. Well, notice what they didn't stop. From their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. So just quickly, verse 8, Joshua is dead. Verse 10, the next generation does not know the Lord and his mighty works. Verse 12, they find other gods to worship, rejecting their heritage. I wonder tonight, who in this room maybe, we know of someone who's rejected the Christian heritage that they've been giving, or they're on the border of rejecting the Christian heritage that they've been giving. Exactly what we see here. I know it wasn't really a Christian heritage yet, per se, of the terminology, because we don't see the term Christian until the New Testament, but we see here followers of the one true God. Verse 16, God sends a deliverer. Again, praise God for his mercy. They are called judges. Verse 17, Israel rejects the judges. We see the cycle. Number one, the cycle, rebelling against God. Number two, we see that because of the rebellion, they are overrun by enemy nations. You can see this over and over and over in the nation of Israel. Number three, they are delivered by a God-fearing judge. Four, they remain loyal until that judge dies. And as soon, again, that leadership in their life, and as soon as that judge dies, number five, they forget God and go back to the way of their current living. I see here something, though, this statement that just arrested my attention. They ceased not. For whatever reason, the Canaanite religion looked more attractive and offered more short-range benefits. Now, you think about things in the Word of God, and the Bible says that sin is pleasurable. Turn over, hold your place there in Judges 2, and go with me to the New Testament book of Hebrews chapter number 11. Philemon, Hebrews chapter number 11, please. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 25. You know this. These verses, by faith, the hall of faith. Hebrews 11, 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, this is about Moses, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So the pleasures of sin are definitely there. And they are there today. But they are there for a season, for a short period of time, for a vapor, if you will. The Canaanite religion that was prevalent in this day offered, as I said, more short-range benefits. And it's amazing that the Bible is so true about this next statement, that our eye affects our heart. And the Bible says that in the New Testament, I think it's in the book of 1 John, where it talks about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. This Canaanite religion offered much in the way of short-term benefits. Not only did it allow, but it encouraged as forms of worship these temporary pleasures. They offered no peace. They offered no lasting joy. Here is what the children of Israel continuously were involved in. Notice, they ceased not. We could liken this, or we could compare this to living in the flesh. We've been talking a lot about the fruit of the Spirit, and Sunday we talked about being controlled by the Spirit of God and living the Spirit life in the Spirit. This is a great example of living in the flesh and what it brings. Living in the flesh brings nothing but bondage. Now, I don't think we worship Baal, anybody in here tonight. We don't worship Ashtaroth. We don't have quite the same setup as they had, but I guarantee you, if we're not careful, we too can have our false gods. We too can cease not from our own doings. Think of it tonight. What is it that you're doing in your life that is of your own will? Whatever it might be, in my life or yours, it is not pleasing to the Lord. Because unless it's God's will for me or for you, whatever it may be, it's not pleasing to the Lord. What is it that is of your own doings? But notice this, also verse 19, nor from their stubborn way. Well, this is just who I am. This is just what I do. Look, folks, God has created you in His image. And when we got saved and when we got born again of the Spirit of God, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I don't have to live in my own stubborn way. I can live in the power and the filling of the Spirit of God on a daily basis. And here the Bible says that the children of Israel cease not from their own doings and from their own stubborn way. And if you read through this, we don't have time tonight, but if you read through this, you're going to find that it brought them nothing but misery. It brought them nothing but bondage. You would have thought that these very same people would have been able to see the example and followed in the example that was left before them, but they did not. And look what it brought them. They ceased not. Let's look at another example. Acts 5, please. They ceased not. Just think about that for tonight. The children of Israel, they ceased not to their own doings. They ceased not from their own stubborn way. And we see what it brought them. Let's look at another example. Acts chapter 5, verse 34. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. He was highly revered. Notice it says there, he had a reputation among all the people. It's kind of like, When he talked, people listened. And he said unto them, "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. The city of Jerusalem has an influx of people coming to the city in this time in Acts 5. These people have great needs. The apostles are there, and by the power of God, they are meeting those needs. They are performing miracles." See that in Acts chapter 5 at the beginning. They are preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the religious leaders of the day were not happy about it. Go figure. Verse 35, and said unto them, "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do." So Gamaliel is saying to the religious leaders, be careful what you're going to do with these apostles. I don't believe he was a believer himself, but he recognized something, and we're going to read it here in just a minute. Just be careful how you handle these men. "For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men. Let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught." In other words, if this is man's doing, if this is man's working, then it's going to fizzle out eventually anyway. Verse 39. "But if it be of God," and isn't that what we want the ministry of Anchor Baptist Church to always be? To be of God? Don't we want everything that we do here, the services and just every part of the activities and all that we do, we want it to be of God? Because if it's of God, notice, you cannot overthrow it. And by the way, do we believe that's still the case today? I hope so. When God's in it, you cannot stop it. When it's God's direction, it will not be thwarted. When it's God's plan, it will happen. Jesus said, "I will come again." And then you know what? Jesus is coming again. It cannot be stopped, no matter what men may say. "Lest happily ye be found even to fight against God." Isn't this amazing? Here's an unbelieving man standing up, a very religious man, saying, you don't want to fight against God. "And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them," think of that. I don't think anybody in this room tonight can relate to that. Beaten for talking about Jesus. Oh, maybe we've suffered a little bit of of verbal abuse or things of this nature, and maybe even a little bit beyond that, but I don't think we've ever experienced that. Then commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. Let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council. I circled this word, rejoicing. Rejoicing. Not because they had had some financial gain. Not because they had seen lots of people saved, like at Pentecost, which was a great miracle. No, rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus Christ. Wow. Bible says, and daily in the temple and in every house, here's those three words again, they ceased not. A little different setting for these three words this time. We saw the first one at the beginning and what that stood for, and now we see a completely different setting here. They ceased not. This is where I want to find my ceasing not. This is where I want to find my life. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They refused to stop. They had been warned about preaching Jesus. This did not slow them down. Turn back in the same chapter to verse number 25. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, that for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned before this meeting with Gamaliel here. These same disciples had been put in jail for preaching the gospel, and an angel let them out. Notice here, as we go back to verse 42, I would take time this week to read Acts chapter number 5. It'll speak to your heart. It'll challenge you. Let's look at what they ceased not to. Now, we looked at earlier that the children of Israel ceased not to do their own thing, to live their own way. And then the children of Israel ceased not from their stubborn way. Notice, let's see what these men ceased not to do. To teach and preach. That word teach there means to instruct others, to instill doctrine. You know what? I want to encourage Anchor Baptist Church. We cannot cease from teaching the doctrine of the Word of God. We cannot cease from teaching the 2s and 3-year-olds the doctrine of the Word of God on their level. The 4, 5, and 6-year-olds, the 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds, the teenagers, the college and career, the adults, and just everybody. We cannot cease to teach. We must continue line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, teaching the principles of the Word of God. Doctrine is something that must always be a part of the teaching and preaching ministry of Anchor Baptist Church. These disciples, these apostles, cease not to teach the Word of God. No matter what, no matter what our capacity is, no matter what our calling is, we are all teachers. We're all teachers. Notice the next word, preach. Preach. Preach here means to announce glad tidings. Specifically here, salvation through Jesus Christ. Again, it seems elementary, but really the Lord just helped me with this. We cannot cease from preaching the message of the gospel. We cannot cease from teaching and preaching the message that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We cannot cease from this. This is what these men, they ceased not. They did not stop teaching. They did not stop preaching. So we see two different references to this phrase, they ceased not. One was completely led by the flesh. We know the results. The second one was obviously completely led by the Spirit. And we know that the beginning of the church here in Jerusalem, what happened? Thousands were saved and added to the church and then scattered abroad. They ceased not. The Spirit tonight and onward will always lead us to the will of God. Spirit will always lead us to the will of God and His blessings. The flesh led the children of Israel away from God and into bondage. And in one generation, they knew not the Lord. The Spirit delivered Peter and John from bondage. Flesh puts us in bondage. The flesh led the children of Israel into rebellion. The Spirit led the apostles to obedience. And both groups cease not. Let's look at one other quickly. 1 Thessalonians. Really, this is kind of P.S. If you can put a P.S. on a message. 1 Thessalonians. If you can't, then don't next time. 1 Thessalonians. It's a three-word verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Probably you know it by heart. Here it is. Pray without ceasing. Different form of the word. Same meaning. The children of Israel, they ceased not to follow the flesh. Look what it brought them. The apostles in this text in Acts 5, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus. And then we see Paul tells us there's something else we don't want to stop doing ever. Pray without ceasing. I think those go hand in hand. Tonight we need to be praying for our generation and the next generation. That we and they would not follow the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That they would follow the leading of the Lord and cease not to teach and preach.